Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. He loves us. And because He loves us, He watches over us to bless us to the highest potential that we allow. Remember, we have to receive God's word. As we do, when we receive it, then we can learn in fullness what it can do in our lives. When I consider how things go and how people do things, and I look at my life and the victories that I've had and the failures that I've had, the times that I succeeded was when I received God's word. Now, receiving God's word works. It doesn't always look like it's going to work. But it does. When you actually do it, when you take time and do the word of God, it works well. It works to your amazement. And you begin to learn who God is as you take Him at His word. His love supplies you. His love gives you life. It supplies you with life. Now, and it can, the life, different parts of God's word supplies you with the life that solves particular problems. But remember, all of God's word works together with God's life-giving word. And when it's a scripture that gives you the insight of love, and you receive love and you act on love, you do the same thing God does. Same thing with wisdom. See, wisdom helps you understand what to watch out for and what to run into or receive. When you have wisdom, you'll make the best choice. Every time it's time for you to make a choice, wisdom coaches you to make the correct choice, the blessed choice. One time the Lord said, you're only blessed when you make the best decisions. See, when you make a decision and it's not the best one, you can have a measure of problems from not taking the best decision. If you know, going to college is in most cases a good decision, as long as you're going for what's in your heart. But sometimes parents persuade people to go and do something that may not be their best option. And it takes a lot of overwhelming effort to finish college. And then they finish, they graduate, but what they finish for is not in their heart. Now they got to go back and do what's in their heart, or live without doing what's purely in their heart. So when you make the best decision, you're blessed. When you make an inferior decision, you're not as blessed. And you may not get another chance to go back to school. And, you know, my mother told me about a doctor. Now, he'd done that. He went to school. He was a doctor. He had a thriving practice. But he wanted to be a mechanic. And when he heard cars go down the road, he could tell you what was wrong with that car. And he loved cars more than he loved working on people. And eventually, he closed his practice and became a mechanic. And you can thrive in what you love. You may not make as much. Some fields don't pay as much as others. But when, you know, it's not always about how financially sound your life can become. It's what is in your heart. You know, I value being able to bless people and fix their cars when they need me to. It's a blessing. I value that. And then in a week's time, I leave a little space open so that I can do emergency jobs for people. Because sometimes they need you. People don't always bring you their car when you need them. They bring them when they need you. And I try to accommodate people. I don't always feel like it. Sometimes I'm tired. I'm always thankful for all the work I get. Because I've been there. I've been there when I wanted to work and there was nothing to fix. And I prayed about that, and the Lord showed me how to solve that problem. And actually, He said, every morning before your feet hit the floor, command your angels to bring you cash. And I started doing that, and I started having more business than I could do. And then you pay tithes and give offerings. And there's a ministry I love to bless, and that's James Roberts, Life Today. I love to bless James Roberts. And every quarter, I try to send him an offering. It's not a lot, because I, you know, I have a lot going out right now. But I try to do that. And the Lord always supplies me. And but sometimes people just need you. So what you do can be fulfilling because it's in your heart. Now, in my ministry, I share with people things that I learned from the Lord. Now, remember, I'm a mechanic by trade. And the Lord called me to be an apostle. Now, I like to know how things work. I like to get to the bottom of it so that I don't have to, so I can choose wisdom throughout my life. And those who follow this ministry and they, you know, they listen to the recordings, they know me. They know that I focus on how things work. I don't know if I do that because I'm a mechanic or I'm a mechanic because I like to learn how things work. I do the same thing. I have to learn how cars work to fix them. And, you know, the Lord gave me that gift. I can put mechanical things together in my mind and build it. I can do that with woodworking. I can do it with metal. If I can conceive something and I can put it together in my mind and then do it in life. So I'm attracted to how things work. So when I found out I could ask the Lord questions and he'd answer me, I asked him all my questions. Because you don't have to be in the dark about the things of God when he's right there with you always to help you understand things. Now the world tries to live without God. They don't want God in their thinking. And I'm going to share why. There's a reason that people don't want God in their thinking. But when you do, the Lord is right there to tell you whatever you need to know. God will talk to you. He loves you. Please get over the fact that God don't want to talk to us. That's not true. That's what the scientists teach. They're trying to figure out how to prove that God is not. And you can't, because he made everything that they study. He made everything in outer space. He made everything on. Did you know? Don't you realize Jesus made everything you see? Every star, every planet. Jesus did that. Because he was the Word of God. And the Lord spoke everything that he did. And Jesus did it. Your Savior made everything. He's the best mechanic ever. God loves us. And Peter said that, you know, and John, they said that if books were written about everything that Jesus did, the earth wouldn't be a decent library to hold it all. Now, that was a revelation they got from him. He made everything. He said, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. The Lord's been making planets and people for so long. And now scientists are trying to figure out, they got listening devices to see if they can find life in outer space. Life is teeming in outer space. The Lord's been making planets and people long before he made this planet. He said the nations is a drop in the bucket. Everything that's out there, God made it. And the enemy's trying to destroy. Now, figure it out. God loves us. He's been making life. He said, I'm still making planets and people. They don't know because the world don't want people in, they don't want the knowledge of God in their thinking. They're trying to decide whether God exists or not. How foolish is that? And you're fearfully and wonderfully made. When David said you're fearfully and wonderfully made, when you think about everything your body does, just your body, how it can do so many things. It can take your breath away just thinking about it. It's awe-inspiring how God made us. And every person is so valuable they can do so much. A person can be born this year, and in 20 years, they can do something that nobody ever thought could happen and solve many problems. And in 30, 40 years, that person may do something that blesses everybody. Just like the Wright brothers, they made an airplane. And Henry Ford figured out how to build a car so everybody could own one. At an affordable price, too. You know, people can solve complicated problems. And when you do it, other people will jump on the bandwagon and make it better. So, God, every person is a gift from God. Now, what if everybody was receiving the life of God and walking with the Lord and learning how life works and being a blessing to people? That would be so wonderful. But now, we live in a world where people learn all kinds of things. They learn what's right, they learn what's wrong, and some people don't want God. They don't want to think about God. Now, there's a scripture, I think it's in Hosea. It said, whoredom's wine and new wine takes away the heart. Now think about that. That's worldly living. Whoredom's, to lust after a woman, or for a woman to lust after a man. Now they got people lusting after the same sex. Whoredom's. It takes away the heart. It's lust. Remember, the world system is comprised of three things, and it's so dangerous. The lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Lust is not like love at all. To lust after somebody, you can't be concerned about them. Lust tries to be satisfied at other people's expense. It cares nothing about the person, just being gratified. You can't have a true relationship because of lust. It looks like it can work, but it can't. And lust hardens your heart. The lust of the eye hardens your heart too. When people are excessively greedy and they try to succeed, they're driven for money and they don't care how they get it. And they start getting it, they can't be satisfied, they gotta get more. It's a dead end, and it will harden your heart. The lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh, they are dead end roads. When people get involved in those sins, it hardens their heart against God, because it hardens their heart against love. And if you can't love people, you can't love God either. The way you love man is the way you love God. That's why you have to watch anger. If you're frustrated with a person, it will disconnect you from God. If you hold strife in your heart, it's going to eventually grow, and you're not going to like God either. When you can kill somebody, a person that God made, because you won't forgive them. You know, the Jacob's sons, Israel's sons, they had so much animosity against Joseph, they couldn't say anything good about him. And they wanted to kill him. But one said, let's not kill him, let's sell him. And they put him in a pit and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, which sold him to the Egyptians. And you know the story. And eventually Joseph, through dreams and and solving dreams for the Pharaoh. He was made the number two man under Pharaoh, and he was like a father to Pharaoh. The Pharaoh gave him great authority over the Egyptians, and he showed him how to prosper, and he prospered. Everything worked just like God said. And now Joseph was in a position to bless people. And then his brothers came wanting to buy food. So as it would happen, they were under Joseph's authority, just like the dream he had when he was a child. See, when you stay your course in the Lord, if things will work out, prophecy, it doesn't stand alone. The Lord is showing you what can be. There are conditions to every prophecy that God gives. And it's going to happen according to the word if you follow God. Now, some things are going to happen regardless. But if you follow God, it will happen. Personal prophecies, you know, ministers prophesy over people. Many times it don't happen because the person won't follow God. That's a requirement. Operating in the love of God and following God is a chief requirement in working the things of God. But if you don't do your part, if you don't live by the scriptures, it's not going to happen. Now, when you go forward in life and doing the things of God, speaking this word, having understanding, you grow and you start realizing more of God's word, and it causes greater things to happen. But the worldly things, they take away the heart. When God gives you life and you have life, abundant life in you, which is His love. His love is in you. When it's like that, you grow from glory to glory. But when the lust of other things entering in hardens your heart against life, against love, and against God, and it does it slowly over time, so it's not recognizable. The Lord used to give me a message. And I would feel the life of that message. And I could feel it. I knew what to say. I knew what He wanted to say. It's like that word was alive in me, and it wanted to do its purpose. And it got into my will. I wanted to go where I could speak that word so it could do its purpose. That word, I could feel it. It got into my will. I wanted to do nothing but do what to deliver that word where it's supposed to go. Because that was the property of others. And the word of God has its own will, and it can get in your will. But you have to receive it. And I received it. But to stop all that, the enemy will cause problems for me. In the weeks before I'm a minister, usually I will know ahead of time. The Lord will give me the message. You know, I believe He did it that way so that when somebody invited me to minister, like my dad would invite me to minister at his church, because I wasn't a member there. I was a member somewhere else. So when I had to preach at Daddy's church, he let me know several weeks ahead of time. And other ministers would too. I know, like if the church where I was a member, Elder Lewis would let me know about a month ahead of time. And the Lord would give me a message weeks ahead of time. And I said, oh man, I can't wait. And I believe He did that because He knew what the enemy would do. I learned over some years, I learned what was going on. By the time I got ready to preach, I had to read it off the paper. I couldn't feel it in my heart anymore. And I said, Lord, why is it when I get ready to preach, when you give me a message, I feel like it's a holiday, a kid at Christmas. But when it's time to minister the word, I have to read it off the paper. He said, the enemy has been siphoning the word out of your heart. Now, people would, sometimes my customers wouldn't pay me. Anybody that would get aggravated would get aggravated with me. And women would try to tempt me. My customers, parts people would give me the wrong parts. I had all kind of aggravating problems. And it would happen the weeks I was going to minister. Nobody got to tell me it's a devil out there. Because the weaknesses in everyday people, the enemy will use it against me. Misunderstandings, wrong parts, laziness, it will work against me. And temptation. And by the time I get ready to preach, the word is gone. I have to read it off the paper. I'm still anointed to say it, but the word is not in my heart. It was exhausted. I didn't know that the word was exhaustible. We live by the word. So once he told me what was, I understood the principle of siphoning gas because I have to siphon gas sometimes. So, and when you siphon gas, it takes a long time for that fuel to go through a hose and fill up another can. So it was happening over time. So I started doing combat. I would study my word every day. I would study the same thing God had given me so I could feel that word in my heart. And then I studied other parts of God's word and made it even stronger. And then my ministry got better. That's why everything was able to flow together well. And like I said in the other broadcast, sometimes older ministers would get jealous and not call you back. But my dad always called me back. And some ministers would call me back, but most of them wouldn't, especially if they didn't know me. Now, I'm saying this because you're going to run into these things. But I'm showing the illustration how the world will try to absorb the word out of your heart. The world system is totally in disagreement with God. And it takes enough word to combat the world system. It takes the living word in your heart to live in this life. That's why God told Joshua to study his word day and night. And I learned to kill temptation. I learned to be stable and not be angry, not get angry over every little detail that things people do. I realized the enemy is out there and he's pulling people's strings. And I learned not to let it affect me. And I kept the word. I learned to keep the word that God put in my heart. To the point there are some messages the Lord gave me for a church, but I never ministered that. I still have it. I can still feel it. I can still preach it. Because the word is in my heart and it's stable. And the word that God gave me for that church is still in there. And it's not going anywhere. If I ever get invited to minister, I will. If not, I'll die with it. Or I'll go to heaven with it. The Lord loves us. And he's with us. But the world system does not. If you give your allegiance to God, he will multiply in your life. But if you give your allegiance to the world, it will systematically absorb the word in your heart and bring you low into a depression. And you'll be an enemy against God. And John explains this. Now, when you study 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, especially 1st John, it explains how these things work. The love of the world system is enmity against God. So when we do what Peter wrote about in 1 Peter. Chapter 1 teaches us how to structure our love and solve relationship problems. But you can't learn it unless you do it and act on it. And don't let the world interfere. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. Till next time, remember, I love you. God truly loves you, and Jesus is our Lord.